Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm going to start off reading a very familiar verse that we all know. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. You know, in our trip back to America, we got the privilege of ministering to quite a bit of people. And this verse right here sums it up for me. The things people encounter, the issues that we have in our life, the challenges, the bondages, whatever you want to call them, it all stems from this verse right here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And in the New Living Translation, it says, "Guard your heart above else, for it determines the course of your life." And here it's saying, in this verse, that we need to guard our heart. You know, sometimes we take it so lightly, our heart. But the word is saying here that whatever is in your heart is going to determine the course of your life. It's going to determine what direction your life is going to go in. And you know, as we travel across America, I got to minister to so many people that when you really stood there and you listened to them, you can tell it was because of what was in their heart, how they felt about themselves. That even though that they had heard the message before, there were things in their heart, residue of things from their childhood, or things that were told to them, or maybe messages that were preached, issues in their heart that were hindering them from walking in the victory that Christ had already provided. So here the word is imploring us that we need to guard our heart. You know, if we look up the different words in this particular verse, that word heart there means it's the center of all physical and spiritual life. When you look through the word, that's what the heart represents. It's the center of the physical and spiritual life. It's the seat of your emotions, your passions, your affections and desires. So out of your heart, whatever is in your heart, whatever emotions that you're seeing display in your life, whatever desires you're seeing coming out of your life, is a result of that of your heart. That word diligence, it means it's like a jail. So when it says guard your heart with all diligence, it's like, you know, if you were to imagine a guard on duty, guarding this prison. It's the art of guarding. It's important. It's not something relaxed. It's not something passive. You're always on guard. And that word issues there, and if I were to quote this verse from the NIV, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And when I saw that, I was like, wow. Everything you do, whatever it is that you in your heart, it's going to flow out of there. Your emotions, your passions, your desires. And that's a good, if you want to know what's in your heart, take a look at those things. What are you passionate about? What are your emotions saying? What's your affections? What is it that it's foremost in your mind? All you do is think about it. That's what's in your heart. First thing in the morning, what is it that you gravitate to when you get up in the morning? Right? Is it money? I love people. That's the first thing you think about. And the last thing you think about when they go to bed at night. How am I going to make it, right? Finances. That's what's in their heart. And so it's that your heart is a good indicator of what's going on in your life. So the word is saying, guard your heart. As God's people, you know, sometimes we get so relaxed when it comes to the issues of our heart. We let so many things get into our heart rather than the word of God. And we wonder why we're in so much, we get ourselves in so much trouble. We wonder why we're so emotional, so to speak, where our emotions are up and down. It's not in line with the word. You know, we're in fear, and just to name one, we're in fear or we're worried, and I'm going to get more into that later, right? Why is it, what's going on with me? You know, why is it that, you know, yes, I acknowledge what the word is saying, but gosh, in my heart there's anxiety. We have to take note, are we guarding our heart diligently? The word is saying we need to, as God's people, just, you know, with our heart, it's like, you know, this is so valuable. He's saying your heart is valuable. But sometimes we're so relaxed. We listen to this, we listen to that, we read this book, read that book. right? Who listen to what everybody is saying except what the Lord is saying, you know? And the Lord is saying, guard your heart. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. It says, in Deuteronomy 11, 16, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So it's saying here, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived. You know, it's easy for your heart to be deceived. It's easy for your heart to turn aside from the truth and the life of God's word. It doesn't come like, you know, one bomb at once, no, but subtle little things in life. Subtle things. Things that may seem harmless, that take you away from Him. You know, as I study the scripture, it's like so much through God's word. He's imploring His people, guard your heart. Take heed, because there's an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way he impacts and influences our lives is when we, you know, we allow him, the enemy, things of this world, to penetrate our heart or influence our heart. Because the enemy knows once he gets our heart, it just spiral out of control from there. It's just downhill from there. So we need to be vigilant in guarding our heart. What is it that we watch on TV? You know, so many things that are, you know, it's amazing that we sit down and we say, oh, it's a good comedy, and we laugh, and we ignore things that are contrary to God's word on there. You know, we're dulling our heart, rendering our hearts insensitive to the things of God. When we watch things on TV that's not in line with God's word. Oh, it just had one curse word, just one. But subtly, things like that, right? What are we watching? What, you know, what are places we're going to? What conversations are we involved in? The word said evil communication corrupts good manners, right? What is it bringing glory to God? See, we need to be involved in conversations that bring glory to God because we're guarding our heart. There's so many things that could go on and on about different ways we can guard our heart, you know, as far as the practical way. The Proverbs 23:7, it's amazing because, you know, I've met some friends, people I know who went to Bible school with me. And it's amazing because they feel that they know that they can quote the scripture and they've been through Bible school and they've preached to a few people that they're good. But yet their life is a mess because they have not taken the time to guard their heart. They don't think it's important. And and as a result, when you look at your life, I'm not saying this to be condemning, but as God's people, you know what, let me take a little rabbit trail and go to this one verse real quick. It's a verse I'm passionate about. It's John chapter 8 and verse 31. John 8:31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That word abiding means a place you stay there. You live according to. That's who you are. That's part of, not to get ahead of myself, guarding your heart. If you're truly his disciple, he should be reflected in your life. Right? He should be reflected in your life. Disciple is one who follows after. Right? Sometimes we think, well, oh, yeah, well, I'm a Jesus disciple. I can preach a good sermon. That's not what it means to be his disciple. His disciple means you reflect him. The very essence of who Jesus is in every area of your life. Am I saying we're perfect? No. But I'm saying that should be our heart. That should be who we are. We say, Lord Jesus, man, I believe in who you are, and I am your disciple. Therefore, God, I'm going to abide in your word. And when his truth is dominating your life, you'll be walking in freedom. But let's go back to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Now, I'm reading verses that we are so familiar with, but as I read them over and over again, it's so powerful. These verses that we all can memorize, but it's just so good. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm just reading the first part of Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And then Proverbs 27 verse 19, this is very similar to Proverbs 23:7. It says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. I think that is so powerful. When you look into water, you see a reflection of who you are. Same thing with a mirror. You know, that's why, you know, the analogy is given in James. If you really want to see who you are in Christ, look into the mirror of God's Word, right? And here this verse is saying, if you really truly want to see what's in a man's heart, what's in a man, the heart reflects it. What you're seeing, how a man acts, how a woman acts, is truly what's in their heart. You know, for so long someone could pretend. And I'm not saying people are pretenders, but you know, we've encountered some people. You talk a good talk, but after a while, you say, well, what happened to them? Why are they acting this way? Well, they're just only acting and going in the way that what's in their heart. Their heart has not truly been changed. You know, it's like when we go out and we minister to these ladies in Quebeca, our heart is not just to, okay, we'll pray for you and you'll be healed. That's just the surface. That's just the external. We are wanting to teach them at the heart, that their heart will change. Because out of that heart is where you'll be able to stand against the enemy, right? You'll be able to say, you know what? I know who God is. I can trust God. And those are all things that comes from the heart. But if, you know, if all we say is, okay, every time just pray so they'll be healed, they'll just go back home and they'll go back into the same old mess because nothing was changed. We're just dealing with the external rather than the internal, where everything comes from. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. It says in verse 34, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, I was earlier this year, or even was it last year, I spoke on whatever is coming out of your mouth, right? It's because of what's in your heart, right? You only speak what's really in you. You know, if it's negativity, if it's doubt, that's what's in your heart. So this verse is saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bring forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bring forth evil things. You know, it says in the Amplified, it says, for out of the fullness or the overflow, or the superabundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Think about that. Out of the overflow of your heart, whatever is in your heart, you're going to be speaking it. That's why I said we need, as God's people, I don't know about you, but I care about what's in my heart because I truly want to be His disciple. It's much more than just, oh yes, we go there and we preach there and we go there. No. In my heart, God's concerned about our heart. You know, He wants us, He so loves us. He's after our hearts. It's not about all the external and all the emotions we go through. It's not about the emotions. He knows once He has our heart, that's an outflow, an overflow, out of the superabundance of the heart. Right? So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, and it's talking here about adultery. And it's talking about in verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. All those things, issues. You know, whenever someone commits adultery, it had already taken place in their heart. You know, like someone says, you know, they didn't wake up one morning and bam, adultery hit them in the face. And, oh my God, what am I doing here? No, a long time before, they'd given their heart over to that. They start considering those things. They start meditating on those things, which led to adultery, right? And it goes to say for anything that's carnal. You know, it just didn't sneak up on them one day. Okay, it doesn't sneak up on you. It's what you're giving yourself. It's what you're considering more than the Word of God. It's what's going to be in your heart. Same thing with the Word, right? If we're considering the Word and say, God, all I need is you. All I want is you, God. That's what's going to be coming out of you. Let's look at some negative reflections of the heart, right? And you say, oh boy, she's negative. But no, I'm not trying to be negative. But you know what? This is something a lot of people, it seems like Christians, we walk more in the negative than the truth. Okay, so I'm going to go there. Okay, so negative reflections of the heart. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Now, I'm not trying to be condemning, but I'm saying, if we say we know the truth should be impacting our life. We should be walking in it. It's not good enough to say, I believe it. If someone tells me they believe the word, then it should be reflected in their life. And I'm not trying to be harsh. But if we say we believe the word, and it's the truth, it should be impacting our life. Our life should not be the same. Will we encounter challenges? Definitely. But we will not be staying the same. And there's some people that even though they acknowledge the truth, they've been through Bible school, they could preach a great sermon, their life is still a mess. And to me, that's not truth. Something is wrong. And it's not the word. It's not the word. And truly, believe, if you really believe, I wouldn't call it believing. I'll just call they know something. Because true believing always produces change in our life. Well, you know, some people have it easy, you know. They grew up in a Christian home. And some of us, we just got born again when we were 25 years old. So, okay. Well, let me tell you something. I'm no different from you. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, there's still an enemy out there who we have had to encounter. People coming against us. Discouragement. And I've had to stand the word and say, God, your word is true. Because there's no excuse. There's no respecter of person. God's word is truth for everybody. It's not like, oh, well, my life is more burdensome than yours. Therefore, you know, I have excuse to stay the way I am. No, there's no excuse. His word is truth. And he said, for anyone who believes his word, there's change. But we have to grab a hold of it. We have to allow it to work in our heart. Amen. I mean, I'm passionate about that. So if, when I hear nonsense like that, I'm sorry, I don't agree. Okay? If we say we believe God's word, it must be evident in our life. So let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. You know, here it is, the concern about what people eat and so forth. But he's saying here in verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So here, all of these things, just talking about, like, if you see those things evident in your life, if you're a backbiter, you're a slanderer, you're a gossiper, let's put on to common terms here, okay? You think evil of other people, you speculate, you know what I'm saying? If you have all those things in your heart, coming out of you, that's what's in your heart. If you're rebellious, all right? If you're stubborn, we can go on and on and on and on, right? It's talking about, that's coming out of your heart. And that's a negative reflection of the heart. In other words, you could put it this way. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19, Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's talking about, if that's your life, you're not walking in that eternal life, that abundant life that Christ has provided for you. You're not going to see it evident in your life. You're not going to see the power of God work in your life. Not because that he's withholding himself. He loves you. God loves you. But it's the choices we're making. All right? The choices we're making in our life. That's going to hinder. That's a work of the flesh. And it all leads to death. And I'm going to read that scripture in a minute. You know? So these are works of the flesh. And if we are living, you know, there's so many, I meet so many people, right? Christians, you know? Yeah, it's okay, we're sleeping around, but hey, we're under grace, we're cool, no big deal. I love the Lord. I'm not saying you don't love the Lord, but if we truly love Him and we honor Him, you know, honor Him, we fear God. God, we love You, we trust You with our life, God. Lord, I want to please You. We wouldn't be there. We would want to be doing things His way, you know? And I wouldn't get, and there's a story I can tell you, but I wouldn't go there. But the compromises people make. And when you compromise, it shows there are issues in your heart. If your heart's after God, there will be no compromises. It's only God's way. And I don't care if I have to sleep out in the streets and it seems like I don't have enough money for rent or whatever have you. Okay? I'm going to sleep in the street. I'm not going to make any compromises to stay where I am. Because God, I know you love me. And your word says that you'll never leave me or forsake me. So it doesn't matter what it looks like, God. I know I can trust you. And I don't have to walk according to the flesh. Right? So it calls all of those things works of the flesh. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And also Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. So here it's saying, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, right? That's showing what's in your heart. And it's not a God thing. You know, sometimes we say, oh, well, the doctors say I have this medical condition, whatever. But it's just a reflection. If you're God's child, and you say we know the truth, it's a reflection that you truly don't know the truth. You see, because when we come into understanding of who God is and what He's done for us and what He says about us, man, all we can do is just get excited. Why be depressed? What is there to be depressed about when we know who our Heavenly Father is? What is there to get anxious about when we know who our Heavenly Father is? When He says, I'm going to take care of you. And He says that He doesn't lie. But when we get anxious and when we get depressed, we're saying, God, yeah, I see it in the Bible, but maybe you may be a liar. That's what we're saying. By getting anxious. There's no justification. You know, there are times I've been depressed. Looking, woe is me, look at me, look where I am, look what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And all of that is being self-centered and not looking, Jesus, look what you've done. God, you're a good God. And every time we're depressed and anxious, because we're just looking at ourselves. And we're not looking at Him and how good He is. And God, you're a good God. You're not going to leave me here. Your words is true. And do I really believe your word? God, and if I really believe your word, God, I'll be singing and dancing. Just like Paul and Silas when they were thrown in jail. Right? Why would they had nothing to sing about. They were bound. Joseph had nothing to be happy about. I say he was happy in prison. He was ministering, by the way. Interpreting dreams. Because he knew God. He knew who his Heavenly Father was. He knew, man, this is nothing. Right? When you start looking at life as, you know what, this is not all there is to life. This world is not my own. It's the song, I'm only passing through. Right? Really, we're only passing. This is not it. We can get happy that our Father is the creator of the universe. And I like it because, you know, since being here in South Africa, I say, yeah, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, you know? 1,000 hills? Praise the Lord. Man, God, you are my source. No man is my source. And every time I get depressed, I'm saying, God, you're not my source. God, you are my source. And every time I hope, and it says in verse 12 here of chapter 13 of Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But who is our hope? Jesus is our hope. And hope deferred means we've gotten our eyes off of hope and to something else. And every time we get our eyes off of Jesus and to something else, there's anxiety, there's depression. Amen. So that's a negative reflection of the heart. When we're anxious, when there's depression. I don't care what the doctors say, okay? I don't care if he says you're bipolar. Who gives a rip? Seriously, we don't go by what people say. We have to believe what God's word says about us. Sometimes we're looking for so many excuses to stay the way we are. Well, feel sorry for me. The doctor said I have this, you know. I'll always be depressed. That's not true. God's not limited by what the doctors say. I'm sorry. He's not limited. We are the ones that put a limit on Him. We have more fear of the doctors than God. We have more reverence and honor for the doctors than God. We honor the doctor's words more than God's word. That's what we're saying. I'm not trying to be harsh here. But saying, as God's people, do we really believe the word of God is truth? And it will set us free. Because that freedom is not just in our emotions or whatever. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But it's freedom in everything in life. Freedom. You know, another reflection, negative reflection, we can see is in, it gives reference to this is in Psalm 78, talking about the children of Israel. And it's just talking about the children of Israel, how that they, you know, it's talking about the new generation coming, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And goes on to say in verse 11, and forgot His works and His wonders that He did, that He had shown them, marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. And just goes on to talk about all the things He did as they crossed the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, and all these things. But in verse 17 it says, but they sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. And they say, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And it, you know, we know all the griping and the complaining. They were never satisfied. Doesn't it sound like some of us were never satisfied? We're not just happy and content. And just that's the children of Israel. They were never happy. They were always complaining, grumbling. Oh my God, the leeks, the onions, blah blah blah. They were always complaining, and they didn't even stop to think. Oh my word, the Lord we serve. Did you see that sea He parted? Gosh, He's just so awesome. He loves us so much. How good is this God we serve? Who cares that we only have manna to eat? Look what He did for us. He delivered us. And sometimes that's the way we are. We forget what Christ did for us. He set us free. He came and He died so we can walk in this freedom, in this newness of life. And all we do is complain. God, I don't have this. God, I don't have that. God, what about this? What about that? We sound like them, don't we? Complaining, grumbling. And it reminds me about myself when we lived in Trinidad. And when we lived in Trinidad, things were tough. You know, we had just come back from Russia. We didn't have many supporters. We're just living, okay? Just put it that way there. And I was angry. I said, what's... And I'm complaining against God. To be honest, I was angry at God. What's going on here, God? Why is it, God, that we have to live this way? And I'm going on and on and on. And that's just showing the issues in my heart for me to complain against God. I mean, man... So many good things He had done in our lives. And I wasn't considering that. I was considering everything that was before me. How is it, God, that we are barely getting by every month in my mind? Whereas I was supposed to have the attitude, praise God, Jesus, that we're not starving. We have enough. Amen. We have a house we could live in. We didn't have to pay rent, right? We have a vehicle we can drive and we didn't have to buy. Think about how absurd my complaining was. But I was complaining and I was angry. This showed what was in my heart. And sometimes we're like that with God. God keeps coming through for us over and over again. But because we're in a certain period of our life, we're facing this challenge, we start waving our hand at God. God, where are you? Where He's always been, He's there. He loves you. But He wants us to trust Him. Trust Him. Right? And that's the children of Israel were not like that. They were complaining, griping, murmuring. But sometimes we murmur, don't we? We all have done it. We murmur. And this is just showing what's in our heart. I'm not trying to be harsh, but my gosh, we need to sit down and realize how the God we serve, how good He is. We serve a good God, right? And there's other verses that, I don't know the verse right now, but it said He didn't serve the Lord with joyfulness of heart. They weren't happy. They were complaining. So complaining and grumbling, a reflection of the heart. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35. And it's talking about forgiveness. It just gave the parable of the unforgiving servant. And the last verse says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And I'm just wanting to bring out the point that if you are harboring unforgiveness in your heart, if you say, oh, I can never forgive so-and-so, that shows who you are in your heart. Because if we sit down and think about it, this parable, it just reflects the heart of the Father. How much He has forgiven us. This great debt we owed, and Jesus Christ paid the price. And He has forgiven us. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, He loved us so much. Who are we? If a brother comes and does something against us, we're not to walk in forgiveness. And that shows when walking in unforgiveness, we have not a true revelation of the love of God in our heart. Now, I remember some years ago, and I was having these issues in my heart. God, how can I forgive such a person, God? And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, the same way I've forgiven you. Walk in that love, that unconditional love. That's how the Heavenly Father walks towards us, in that unconditional love. Does that mean we enable someone? No. But that forgiveness, that's we're supposed to abide in that. Saying, Jesus, you're such a good God. You're such a loving God. Look what you did. You forgive me, God. You came and you died for me. You love me so much. And Lord, if I love you so much, I'm going to abide in your word and walk in that forgiveness towards my brother. So if you're walking in unforgiveness, that's a negative reflection of the heart. Mark 11:23. It says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. If you have doubt, it's in your heart. Now, Hebrews 3:12, talking about the children of Israel again. Hebrews 3:12, and it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So it's calling it an evil heart of unbelief. When there's doubt, right? When there's doubt, you're always questioning, I don't know if I'm going to make it, maybe I'm going to die. So forth, you know, we know all we say when we're walking in doubt and unbelief. And what does God say about that? He said, because in verse 10, if we were to go up in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 3, he says, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. When we go astray in our heart and we are walking in doubt and unbelief, right, we do not know God. It's just reflecting that we truly don't know our Lord. You know, some people say, well, I don't know, but that's what the Word says. It says we've gone astray in our heart. It's a telltale sign that you don't know His ways. When we know His ways, we're going to be at rest, it says. It talks about, they didn't enter His rest, right? And we know when we're not entering His rest, we're anxious. We're anxious, we're worried. All of those things. And that's telltale of that we don't know Him in our heart. And the reason why I'm saying this is because God wants us to know Him. He wants His people to know Him. He wants us to enter into that rest and know God. Jesus, you've done it. You've won the victory, God. And Lord, I don't have anything to worry about, God. It doesn't matter, God, if it seems like I just have one more meal left, God. Praise Jesus, God. I know your ways, God. And you're going to take care of me and enter that rest. And that pleases God. That's my child. He knows me. He knows me. He knows I'm going to take care of him. He knows that I speak to him. Amen. So there will not, you know, that's negative reflection. And then if you look here in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 3, it says, do not harden your hearts. As in the rebellion, in a day of trial, in the wilderness. So it's talking another negative reflection is a hard heart. That no matter how much God comes through for you, you always, you know, I don't know, will He come through this time? That's a hard heart. And so many believers have a hard heart. And if you sit down and you talk with these believers, you'll see testimony after testimony of God's goodness in their life. Yet they have such a hard heart. And that's just showing what's in their heart. The Word says that a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's just what's coming out. And you've seen it in their life. If you see a believer walking in defeat, it's not God. God's not withholding. It's just a reflection of what's in their heart. If you see a believer walking in insecurity, you know, and always, you know, always needing acceptance and value from people, that's a believer just reflecting what's in their heart, and they do not know how God feels about them, that they're accepted, that they're valued by Him. That they don't need to live life based on what other people think about them. But only, my God loves me. He loves me. He accepts me. I'm accepted in the Beloved. My Father knows the number of hairs on my head. My Father has me in the palm of His hand. I don't need to worry. I'm valued by my Father. Amen. So when we see people like that, we're not going to go and wave our finger in their face. But we have to tell them the truth. Because the Word says the truth will set you free. And if you're not walking in freedom, you're not abiding in that truth. The truth is not, have not penetrated your heart. Amen. And I'm going to end there tonight, and I'm going to continue next week. Amen.